So tonight we're doing Psalm 91. It's a beautiful psalm. I think everybody loves this psalm. And in my Bible, I've got a little subheading, and it says, safety of abiding in the presence of God. Let me read that again. Safety of abiding in the presence of God. And I want to share with us two verses in particular. Verse 1 and verse 2. It says in here, he who dwells in the secret place. Amen. He who dwells in the secret place. Not just any secret place, but it goes on to say, secret place of the Most High. Secret place of the Most High. See, when we read the Bible, we come across two hiding places. The first hiding place we see takes place in Genesis. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they do? They hide. They try to hide from God. So that was their hiding place because they messed up and they thought they could hide from God. And we read of another hiding place in the Psalms, which David talks about again and again. Lord, you are my hiding place. But in this hiding place talks about protection. This hiding place talks about provision. This hiding place talks about the peace that can only come from God. This hiding place talks about power that can only come from God. So coming back to the text, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. So that's the hiding place the psalmist is talking about here. The Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Amen. So there's loads of key words that's been used there. The first one is dwell. Where are we dwelling? And the second place is abiding. In whom are we abiding? And the third one is trust. In whom are we putting our trust in? Okay, and I want to just kind of bring out six things from here, really. Whenever I come across this word dwelling, what does that bring to mind? This brings resting in God's presence. See, whenever we mention the word dwelling, the first thing that comes to mind is resting in the presence of Almighty God. See, whenever the things of the world, it tries to wear us down, it's so important that we take ourselves to the secret place in his presence. Just before we enter into time of worship, what did we do? We entered into that secret place. Just during worship, what was we doing? We were in that secret place. Straight after we sang the hymns, what were we doing? We were resting in that secret place. And when you rest in that secret place, all the worries of the world just wears off. When you rest in that secret place, all of the pressures that you carry, it just comes off loose. Because when you're resting in his presence, you are trusting in him. I am trusting in him. Amen. The second thing we see here is about God's protection. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. You see, when we dwell in that sacred place, there is always God's protection that follows us. See, wherever we go, God's protection is always there with us. We've heard testimonies of Pastor Andrew, the car accidents he's been in 2-3 times, near-death experience. You see, and why is he here today? Because of God's protection. Amen. I'm sure you can look back to your own life and you can see and you can remember the moments where perhaps, you know, things would have gone really messy. But because of the grace of God, you and me, we're here tonight. Amen. Because of the grace of God, I'm able to stand here tonight. Because of the grace of God, we were able to lift up the name of Jesus. All because of the grace of God. And that was done because we chose to dwell in the presence of the Almighty God in that secret place. Amen. When we're in that secret place, we sense God's protection. We feel God's protection. We know God's protection. Amen. And thirdly, God's peace. God's peace. When we dwell in the secret place, there is always God's peace. That beautiful hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. all our groups in Beer, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. See, and there's a bit in there where it says, you see, all the worries that we carry is all because we take everything on ourselves, all because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. You see, there's always peace of God that comes with dwelling in His presence. Amen. Thirdly, when we dwell in God's presence, God gives us His perspective. Amen. When we dwell in the secret place, He fills us with His perspective. See, all of a sudden our perspective changes. All of a sudden the way we see the world changes. All of a sudden the way we see ourselves changes. It's not because of what we've done. It's all because of Jesus, what Jesus has done. Because that scripture comes to mind, if you remain in me, I remain in you. And if Christ remains in you, all of a sudden your perspective to life changes. All of a sudden your perspective to how you live life and do life changes. Amen. And fifthly, God's provision. When we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, God will provide. Amen. God will provide. God has always provided. See, this building is God's provision. You see, the car that I'm driving right now is God's provision. I didn't pay a single penny for that car. I was praying for a car and someone came up to me and gave me that car. God provides. God is a God of provision, you see. But the thing is, we have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Obedience, amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And obedience always should come first. And lastly, when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we always, always see God's power moving. God's power moving. You see, the fact that you and me, we're here tonight is because of God's power. Gospel is transformative. See, gospel changes lives. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. See, Paul says time after time, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, before it is a power unto salvation. See, gospel has power to change life. Gospel has the power to change the impossible to possible. See, when you dwell in the secret place, the thing that you might be looking at right now, the mountain that you might be looking at right now, you might be saying, this is impossible. I don't know how we're ever going to go past this one. But the word of the Lord to you is this. Dwell in the secret place. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High and see how God will take off all them giants that are in your ways. See how God will move all the mountains that are in your ways. But the main thing we have to do is we have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So six things really. When we're dwelling in the secret place, we will always know God's presence and God's direction. Secondly, when we dwell in the secret place, we will always have God's protection. God will always be there. His protection will always be there. Thirdly, when we dwell in the secret place, we will always have God's peace. God's peace is not about feeling. No, you might not feel God's peace, but God's peace is about knowing God's peace. See, feeling is irrelevant. Peace is about knowing and having this peace in us. See, we say, I don't feel peace, but we have to know the peace of God. Amen. We have to know the peace of God. And he who dwells in the secret high, the fourth one is God's perspective. God will give us his perspective because he wants us to see the world like he does. Fifthly, God will give us his provision. His provision, we've got full of heaven. You see, all of the provision is there available for each and every one of us if we trust in him. And lastly, he who dwells in the secret place will always know God's power. Amen. Will always know God's power in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I didn't know you were doing Psalm 91, but this is a really important psalm for me personally and for Sheila and our family, because my nephew was born really, really premature, so premature that they couldn't handle him in Doncaster, and they got to take him to Leicester by an ambulance because he was born so early that he weren't really viable. His lungs aren't properly formed, and the incubators they got in Doncaster DRI weren't sufficient for him to survive, so they had to take him by ambulance, as I say, down to, I think it was Leicester. So obviously at that time, and he's a grown man now, but at that time it were a really heartbreaking time for everybody in the family. especially for my sister. And so we got everybody praying. At that time, the Doncaster Penty Church was still open, and we rang around every friend that we knew in Doncaster and in other places, and everybody were praying fervently for him. But it would touch and go whether he were actually going to live, because he kept getting infections and he couldn't breathe. There were so many complications and so many things going wrong. The only thing we could do, me and Sheila, would get up in the middle of the night and pray all through the night for him. And until I got this psalm, I didn't feel confident. But God gave me this psalm. And it was, I know it's for us all, but it's like when God gives you a word that you can hold on to. Yeah. God gives you a word in season that becomes a living word, that becomes a life-giving word. And surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And I just had like this picture of God surrounding like a brooding bird and an hen, or you know, a hawk or whatever, something that's looking after this chick. And it's sad to say that each of these words were becoming real for me and for him, because he says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. And I'm thinking of Jacob in this incubator. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Nor for the noise, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And unfortunately, there were children that were actually not there in the morning. There were incubators, and it's sad to say that you know, it's terrible, isn't it? But this psalm, we kept quoting it, speaking it out, believing it, and gradually he started coming through, and he survived, and then he'd have a dip because he'd get an infection. I was there weeks and months, but the very, very worst time when they thought that's it, this psalm was the thing that we held on to. And I don't know, I'm praying that this young man will eventually. We've told him this psalm, I've spoken this psalm to him. I said, Jacob, we've really prayed for you, mate, and loads of other people were praying for you. He's not made a commitment to the Lord yet, unfortunately. He's slightly off at rails a bit, but he's a grand lad. But, you know, I said, this is your psalm, Jacob. And there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So when these infections were on, you're quoting this scripture, and it becomes a life-giving word. It doesn't always happen that. You know, we can't just pluck things out of air. But sometimes God does give you a specific word for a specific time, and a psalm or a scripture or a verse that you can cling on to. And when that happens, you just run with it. And it's amazing what God actually does. And, you know, as I say, most of these words I could apply to him. You know, delivering him from trouble, delivering him from pestilence, 10,000 fall inside. But at the end, he came through. And we thanked all the people who prayed. And I'm looking, and his name is paper somewhere. He got a cutting in one of the papers in, I don't know, it was Doncaster's. I can't remember which one it was, Sheila. But it was, and he's actually called the Miracle Baby. Well, it was a real miracle. So I give God thanks for that scripture. Powerful word, powerful word. Amen.
Like Mick and probably many, many others, this psalm has just carried me through so many adverse situations and continues to. it's the rock on which I stand. And Moses wrote this psalm. And if there's anybody who knows about sitting in God's presence in the shadow of El Shaddai, he did. He really got into God's presence. He had a task and a half, but God was more than sufficient. So if he can take Moses and the children of Israel through with a psalm like that, he can sure deal with anything that comes against me. And I used this psalm so much during the early days of the COVID, when people were dropping like flies and it was a deadly thing. And in the message, it says, "You who sit down in the high God's presence and spend the night in Shaddai's shadow, say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe." That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps and he shields you from deadly hazards. Whoa! His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them you are perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. And I could just see his huge arms around me, just flicking everything off that came towards me. And I knew I was encircled by his love and his protection. And it says, "Fear nothing. Don't you ever get afraid of anything. God is with you. Not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness." Wow. "Not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around you and drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched and you'll watch it all from a distance. You'll watch the wicked turn into corpses. Why? Because God's your refuge. The high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. It can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling." And so it goes on. He's there at our side at the bad times and he rescues us every time. And I thank God for that psalm. My mum, when she was getting on in years, she was a monkey for falling down. And daily I would pray that, "Father, thank you that your angels surround her, protecting her from falling. And even if she does fall, she will not be harmed." And the time she got up and said, "Well, Grace, I fell over this and I landed on some grass." And she said, "It didn't hurt a bit." And she really was. She knew that the angels of God were holding her up and protecting her. And I sat in the car many a time before I went to the supermarket when COVID was rampant. And I read those few verses. And I got out of that car feeling like a giant. I was totally untouchable. No COVID was getting me. And it never did. Praise God.
I think we have a book of mystery here. We don't understand it sometimes. And we have to apply great wisdom to what we read and what we understand. Grace was protected from COVID. Wonderful. I wasn't. Some of us have long life. Christians that we know haven't. What's this all about? We are protected by the Lord. I believe that 100%. This chapter isn't about our human experience. This is about our spiritual and our eternal experience. We cannot say that we don't have trouble in this world. We do. My wife died young. How can that be? A beautiful Christian lady. She got eternal life, according to that last verse there. Not in human terms. Please don't limit what this chapter says. This chapter talks about our worldly experience, yes. But it talks about our eternal heritage. What we get from the Lord for eternity. Eternal life, eternal health, eternal protection from pestilences. We know of people in this church who are in wheelchairs and they're not healed. Why is that? Is it God's will? Are they lacking in faith? No, it's nothing like that. And sometimes we say, is it God's will? Well, it's a mystery. It's a real mystery. We don't know. Some people are healed, some are not. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Whether you're ill, whether you're in trouble, this chapter says we will be in trouble, but we'll be protected. I don't know why some people are healed. I don't know why some people die young in human terms. What I know is that we have eternal salvation, eternal protection, and eternal refuge with God. That's the important bit. Please don't limit this chapter to your human experience. Because it's not, yes, it is about your human experience, but it's not only about that. It's about the eternal protection and the love of God that he has because he loves us. So please read this chapter with wisdom. And when we talk about what happens to Christians, yes, we can claim the victory. Yes, we can claim protection. But you know, there might be people sitting in the congregation who are really ill and say, what does that mean in terms of my faith? What does that mean in terms of my experience of God? We need to apply real care and wisdom when we use these words. Yet I believe 100% that the Lord will and can heal us. He is a God of divine healing. Thank God for that. But you will know, and I know, that there are people who don't get healed. What's that all about? It's a mystery. I don't know. What I know is that this says, in spiritual terms, we are in his refuge. In spiritual terms, we are under his wings. In spiritual terms, we will have long life. In fact, eternal life. So it's not just the chapter about, as wonderful as Mike's story is, that's how it applies. It's absolutely, this is what it's all about. Friends, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. it's about our eternal welfare, this chapter, as well as our human experience. It's not, you know, I might get run over tomorrow. Please God that I don't. But if I do, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, it goes on forever. So please don't limit this. Let's have wisdom when we talk about it. Let's have sensitivity to the fact of people's life experience rather than people's eternal experience.
I want to just talk about one particular word. It's still in that first verse. Abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when I looked at that word shadow, I thought, what does it actually mean? I know what a shadow is. We all know what a shadow is. But somehow in my thinking, it didn't seem adequate to explain what that means. So I looked sort of the cross references that it refers to. And the word used in some of them is shade. Now, we know when it was red hot the other week, we found it cool within the shadows. You know, it was almost, you find it by accident, you find somewhere that's out of the sun. But the other thing about shade is, when you apply it here, abiding in the shade of the Almighty, that brings a deliberate thing from God, that He is shading. He is shading you and me from the circumstances, the extremes that we might go through. He's not just an accidental shadow of, you know, like you're following behind God and His shadow falling on you. It's more than that. He deliberately shades us in areas of our lives that we don't know. We don't know when He's shading us. You might think about it as protection. It says down in verse 4, it says, He will cover you with His pinions. He will shade you with His pinions. That's a protection. It's a security. But it's deliberate. A shadow is, by its nature, is almost accidental. It just happens to be where someone or something is that has the sun shining on it and it casts a shadow. Shade is something different. I think there's one instance where somebody sat under a tree, a shade of a tree. Yeah. And God went there. You know, to do with the shading again. But it's getting this idea that God is deliberately shading us in circumstances, in situations, in areas of our life we don't even know. More than a few months ago now, we were travelling home from church one Wednesday night. I think it was still light. I can't remember. Anyway, if you know the road from Doncaster to Barnsley, when you get towards Ickleton, just before you get into Ickleton, there's a crossroads. So we were travelling up Mar, got within 100 yards or so of Ickleton crossroads, and straight through from Oulton Padmore Way, straight across the junction at 30 or 40 mile an hour, straight across. There was a vehicle coming the other way that was even closer. I mean, that could have been an awful situation. But we've got shade. In circumstances we don't know. We don't know where God is shading us. Some things are impossible for us to cope with. In the natural, we just cannot do it. We cannot handle it. But when God shades us, He puts His pinions around us. It's like being shaded from the heat of the day. Or the heat of the circumstances, taking some of the heat out. See, when you were in the heat wave and you went into where there was some shadow, it was less hot. It wasn't cold, because when it was, you know, going off towards 30 degrees, Pauline's dad, it has his central heat on all the time, he has it set on 23 Well, we took it down to 22. But even the other week, last week, it was 26 and a half in his house. The heating isn't clicking in. But it was still, but you know, if you were out in the sun, it was 29:30. But going into the shade. So when you're thinking about this, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shade of the Almighty. It's a deliberate thing that God is doing. It's not an accidental thing of a shadow. It's the shade that he puts round each one of us all the time in so many different ways. Amen.
Just came to mind as Ken was speaking about the shade. Sometimes we're in really pressurized situations and the heat is on and you feel like you sat on a bomb and it's just so intimidating. But when you get in God's presence, it just drains all the pressure away. Have you ever done that? I've run into his presence feeling all hot and bothered and I can't see a way out of this and I'm really under pressure with heat. And God just calms you down, cools you down and builds you up and lets you know that, hey, this is not your issue. This is not your problem. It's mine. I take the heat out of it because I'm the one that's dealing with it, not you. And that's what all about abiding in the shade of the Almighty is very much about. It's letting you know that when you get in his presence, everything changes. The heat is taken out of it and the peace and the coolness and the calm comes. Amen.
Found this actually quite difficult, but what came to mind was a couple of things really, and that's how limited our view or perception of God is. And here he's described as a refuge and a fortress, which is almost a building, and it's something we sort of limit our perception of him in terms of this little old guy with long white hair and a long white beard and sat on a throne, when in fact he's so much more than that, including, as it describes, almost a building for us to run to and hide in. And rather than a hen with wings collecting a chick, I linked verse 4 and the protection of his wings as refuge to the reference to angels. And there's over 300 references in the Bible to angels. And even, I think it's in the New Testament, where Jesus is actually referred to as an angel of God or something to that. I'm not that knowledgeable, but I know I've read it somewhere. And I think it's something we tend to shy away from because the perception of guardian angels is very much something embraced by the world, and we're sometimes afraid of recognizing that as Christians we do have guardian angels, and sometimes these are Jesus, it's the Lord's protective hand. But for me, verses 14 to 16 were promises that grabbed me. And like Ephesians, as we've talked about, when I read them, I read it through and I thought, oh, it's a bit dry, this. Till I got to 14 to 16. And because Michelle loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue her. Yeah. I will protect Michelle, for she acknowledges my name. She will call on me and I will answer her. I will be with Michelle in trouble. I will deliver Michelle and honour her. With long life I will satisfy her and show her my salvation. Hallelujah. That'll do for me.
Hello.
Well, last week when I came here, I was on about the waterworks. And all day today, I've been absolutely freezing. I couldn't get warm anywhere. I come in here, I was shaking. I couldn't get warm. Half an hour later, I'm ecstasy. Yeah? That's my shadow for today.
The Lord's good, isn't he? Every time. And yes, the Word of God is, some of it's history, some of it's mystery. And this is why that we so much want each and every one of us to be more and more in tune with the Spirit of God. And, yeah, maybe sometimes we use the Word of God in maybe in an area maybe where it's not quite relevant. But guess what? It still works. Yeah, I remember, and this one's tough for me in one sense, my mother, you know. She died basically, as far as the doctors were concerned, of cancer, heart failure. And, you know, I've prayed for, I've lost count of how many people I've prayed for and how many people I've seen healed and people raised from the dead, people healed of cancer. And, you know, I had to, my faith was challenged. And I started asking questions of God and really wondering why and how and what. But I can't quit just on one failure. But then again, when I look back at it, I realise that God has given to each and every one of us a free will. And I honestly believe that my mother came to a point in her life where she said, enough is enough. And she said, I'm ready to go home. And no matter how much praying I did, my mother has a free will. And she went on to God. And she spends her time in eternity. But I don't doubt that praying for a young child and that, and standing there and believing God, it still works. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. We don't understand the battles that we lose, in one sense. We're not God. You know, to be honest, you know, my father's still alive. And I will tell you now, I wish my mother was still alive. You would have loved my mother. She was a real spiritual woman. She was a blessing. But don't cross her. Because she'd tell you, bless her, you know. And this word of God is such a mystery. As Grace has said, this psalm really was written by Moses. And if you look at that in that light, and you begin to read those verses, that there is both a spiritual dimension and there is a natural dimension that he's speaking about. The children of Israel, there were plagues, there were 10 plagues, weren't there? And it says there in verse 3, "For he who delivers us from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence." The children of Israel were delivered from the pestilences, from the curses, from the death even of adults. They came under the wings. Their blood was over the doorposts. This is the covering. Moses is talking about this, a covering, and he's using different terminologies. And you and I need to realize that the closer we get to God, the better it'll be. And I believe that, you know, sometimes we, and each and every one of us, get beat at life because we don't know enough yet. We're still growing. We're still developing and we're still pressing in. And each and every one of us has lost loved ones, but then there's the other side that we've seen others come in and we see the glory of God. And it says in verse 7, "Though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you." This reminds me of when the children of Israel were the last curse and plague, when the blood was sprinkled over that doorpost and there were thousands and 10,000s of the firstborn all dying. And yet it never came near them. The angel of death never came then, it passed over. And we need to, you know, verse 10, it says, "Nor will any plague come near your tent." I believe that there is a place that we as individuals in Christ can come to. Now, some people might say to me, and have said to me, "Well, you're just living in utopia or for utopia." Well, let me tell you this, I know that God is perfect. He has a perfect plan for us. And I believe honestly that at creation, God never intended death to be part of creation. Death came in through sin. Death was not part of God's plan. And so I believe that God is what he made in the beginning. Through Christ Jesus, he's bringing into full restoration. No more death. No more sickness. No more pain. I believe that's God's intention. I don't know whether you believe it, but I certainly believe it. And so I am journeying towards that. That's where I'm going. And as the Lord pray, you know, the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come in me. Your kingdom come in me." The very presence of God. You know, God's not sick. God's not carrying sickness. And you, Michelle, stole my verses. Yes. I'm thinking, well, of all the... I tell her to get up, and then she gets up and nicks what I want to say. But no, it's good, because the word of the Lord... You know, I've said this to you before. It's like a diamond, and as you turn it, you see different facets and different things that come out of it. And, you know, we need to constantly be seeking God to bring greater depths of revelation and understanding of His Word to us. Because it's His Word that will set us free. It's His Word that brings deliverance. It's His Word that brings healing. It's His Word that flows into our lives. And that verse 14 says, because He has set His love upon me. That's God speaking. That's God speaking. Because you have set your love on God. It's that chorus. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. And it's us. That's an old one. Now, thank you, Mike. But it's the truth. Don't change, does it? Even though it's an old one, the truth does not change in the fact that I have to keep falling in love with Him. If I don't, where would I be? Grace and I, in these next few days, will have been married 50 years. Do you know what has kept us together? We kept falling in love with each other. Over and over. And over and over. And over and over. And again and again. And, most of all, we had Jesus right in the center of our relationship. And that is what's kept us. That's what's kept us together. I'll tell you that some years ago, Pauline and Ken, Grace and myself, our marriages were under attack. And we went through a bit of a difficult period. And we discovered, once we came through it, we discovered that there was somebody who in quotes said they were a Christian. And to be quite honest, Grace and I didn't know them, but they were jealous of Grace and I, and they were jealous of Pauline and Ken. They knew my parents, and they started to pray against us because they were practicing witchcraft in the church. Just because somebody comes to church, that does not mean they're necessarily a real believer. This is where we need to see with the eye of the Spirit. You know, as the church gets more moving in the Spirit, the devil's going to come by and say, I need to offload half a dozen in this place and just try and cause some trouble. And we need to stand on the Word of God. We need to be able to recognize. I mean, these people didn't have any contact with Grace and I. We didn't know anything about them. But when they actually came to my parents and told my parents, this is what we've been doing, and we've repented of it, and we've come to apologize and let you know. And that was the first time we knew anything about it in the natural. But we knew there was something going on in the spiritual. And it was seeking to bring death and destruction upon us. And to destroy our peace and our relationship. But you know, we were in love with God. And it was that love for God that carried us through. And as we follow Him, keep falling in love with Him over and over again. And you know, I believe in these latter days, there are going to be more signs, wonders and miracles being seen. And these things will be seen happening through your prayers, your interactions with people. The world is in a mess. And the church is in a mess because the church has followed the world. So we, the church of Jesus Christ, needs to arise, shake itself, and let its enemies be scattered. And we need to make sure that we have fallen in love with the right God. That we worship the true and living God. And that we're following Jesus and not a myth. And that we're walking in His footsteps. And we're following what this book says. And along the journey. You get something wrong. You make a mistake. But underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of God. And He's there for us. And whilst we are still in love with Him, He will continue to be with us, to support us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to cause us to walk on. We can call upon His name, and He will answer. He will answer. I remember an American minister who was used mightily in God for people to be healed. And we don't know why people get healed. We don't know why people don't get healed. Because it's a mystery. I mean, you explain to me how a woman in Romania with cervical cancer, within a few weeks, is totally healed from it. And yet doctors have said she's got cancer, coming for the operation. And in the interim, she meets Jesus. And she's healed. And I know we can stand, well, why didn't that happen to so-and-so? Why didn't that happen for my mum? But we just keep standing on that word. We're not God. We are servants. We're servants of the living God. You know, Jesus prayed for people more than once at times. Don't give up. Never give up. The death of Jesus on the cross, it looked like a defeat. The disciples thought, hey, this isn't what we had in mind, was it? He's dead. What are we going to do now? Peter says, well, I'm going back fishing. He went back to his old ways. Hang on. Keep pressing in. Keep believing God. God will rescue you. God will honor you. God will honor you, which says, with long life. You know, God wants to move us forward into a deeper relationship. God wants us moving in the spiritual dimension that you've never known before, that you've never experienced before, and that, to be honest, you don't really fully understand it. Because we've lived so much in the flesh that God wants to introduce us more and more to the things of the Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my what? Spirit, saith the Lord. That's where God's taking you. That's where God wants you to be. And along this journey, we'll like, is this right? Have we got it right? I'm not sure about this. Don't worry, there's going to be a few things along the way that you're not sure about. But you hang on to what you're sure of. That Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus said, greater works shall you do in my name. That great commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons in my name. And let that name of Jesus begin to glorify and to stand and show our lives to be a real testimony to the power of God as we move forward in this realm of the Spirit. You know, I want to hear and see every one of you prophesying. Don't get excited, you know, I'll do it for you. I'll have to get enough excitement up for all of you, shall I? Glory to God. Prophesying. Laying hands on the sick. And people being healed. Let's push back the powers of darkness that rob lives. I'll tell you this one and then I'll close with this one. Pauline and Pauline's daughter Louise, who was a nurse. We went to the hospital one time when my mum was in hospital. I think she'd gone in for, she was having heart issue problems. She hadn't had a bypass at that point in time, had she? And I was sat at the side of the bed. I think we sat with you, Pauline, weren't I? I don't think Grace had, no, so you and I were sat at the, yes, I suspected she was having a heart attack. Yeah. Right. So you and I were sat at the bed. And as I was sat at the bedside, all of a sudden, I'm just talking to my mother, and all of a sudden, the death mask came over her. And on the next bed was a nurse. And as you shouted, nurse, she turned and looked, and next thing there was, everything broke loose in the hospital. There were about 12 people suddenly appear out of nowhere. And they pushed the family into a room. And I refused to go in the room. I wanted to keep sight of my mother. I'm an orchid, so I'll be honest with you. I needed to keep sight of my mother. And I made a decision that I'm staying a distance away. I'll be out of the way. But I needed to see my mother on that bed. And I was going to pray in tongues until she was brought back to life, until she was back in life. And I stood there and I was praying and praying and praying, and this big nurse came along. She broke my mother's rib, actually. But my mother came back to life. And I had this experience. I tended to share this privately, but I'm sharing this publicly now. I had this experience that once that happened, something came off my mother and came towards me. And it said to me, and it took hold of me, and a tightness came over my chest. And it said to me, if I can't have your mother, I'm having you. And at that point in time, I began to go down. And my sister had just opened the door to see where I was and what was going off, and literally caught me and dragged me into this other room. Hospitals are bad places. Spirits of death roam through hospitals. But I definitely heard, if I can't have your mother, I'm having you. And we had to stand against that. And I honestly was going down, and my sister called me. I knew what I heard. I knew what I felt. I felt like life was being squeezed out of me and pulled out of me. But you know something? God has a plan for each and every one of you. And let's fulfill the plan. Let's keep falling in love with Him over and over again. Let's place our love. Let our love not be for the things of this world, but for the things of God. And as we are falling in love with God, and as we are fixed in God, He says, I will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that? Praise God. He will do it. And you know, let's grow in the Word. Let's grow in the things of God. Let's not be afraid to share our thoughts. Because sometimes I like to share some thoughts that just stir things up. Hallelujah. Just stir it a little bit. It makes you think. There was an author who wrote a book, something to the effect, it was decrying Jesus as being the Son of God and anything of that nature. He was an American guy. I think he had a radio program, and he was quite famous. Hank somebody, I think his name was. And it was sent around all the Christian community. Whatever you do, don't read his book. Don't read his book. So I got his... And you know, we had a delivery from one of our book suppliers. And his book turned up in one of our deliveries. We didn't order it, but it turned up. So I did, I read it. And there were times I was sitting reading it, and it was, you know, trying to promote the negativity against Christianity. And every time he did that, I found something positive from his negativity. And it gave me a boost, and I thought, what a great, thanks for that. I've seen the other side. Seen the other side, you see. And I thought, oh, it's a good book, this one. You know, you don't give it to everybody, but, you know, it's something that, you know, makes you, you've got to be stirred up. Let your spirit be stirred up. Let the Word of God be stirred up in you. Let the things of God be quickened. You know, let God quicken our mortal bodies. And let's see the work of God moving forward, pushing in. Because God has placed His love upon you. You know, you've heard me say this recently. You know, people say, oh, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. You didn't find Jesus. You weren't even looking for Him. He found you in your gutter. He found you. He found me. I weren't looking for Him. He's the shepherd that goes out looking for that lost sheep. Hallelujah. And He found me. Praise His wonderful name. Father, we thank You for Your goodness towards us. We thank You, Lord, that Your love is ever towards us. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word says God is love. And that, Lord, You want to be amongst us. And Father, we pray that Your Word and the power of Your Word would flow through us, would grow in us, O God. And Father, that we will be a people who are listening to You and to Your Spirit. And that, Father, we will see the challenges, and Lord, we will face them, and we will press in. And Lord, that the kingdom of God might suffer violence, but Lord, the violent take it by force. And Lord, we'll push through. And Lord, we'll see the stones that are being placed upon the wells of salvation being removed, O God. Lord, that the flow of the Spirit would just lift off the stones that are being cast over those wells. And Lord, there shall be a fullness and an outpouring of an outflow of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you, keep you, and strengthen you and enable you. In Jesus' name, we see you here on Sunday, rejoicing and praising God. Hallelujah. And let's look forward to a wonderful time of blessing. And you know, if God gives you a word of prophecy, bring it. Hallelujah. Bring it. Don't let the enemy keep you silent. Begin to be vocal for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's hear. You know, bring that anointing. Bring your joint corporate anointing. And let's have that outpouring together. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.